You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We're speaking with Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years. And now runs a technology company based in Seattle, Washington. And on this episode, we will be covering the non-conforming path to success. A must listen for sure. And Mr. Rex, welcome to the program.
Eric, thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Yes, sir. Good to have you out. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, tell us a little bit about your path and life journey in becoming the entrepreneur that you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my path is a very non-conforming path towards business leadership, entrepreneurship, building a company, however you might want to call it. My background was I grew up in upstate New York. My parents are teachers, and I around my teens or so, I really started contemplating, you know, how best to use my life. Really wanted to give all of myself towards service in some way. Actually even joined a seminary when I was 17. I really considered going through into ministry and kind of going to the missions. So this is kind of my mentality, is try to be all in, try to give myself to others. And then needless to say, a seminary didn't really work for me. I was not the best with obedience in general. So I was kind of, told that pretty quickly. And so I ended up going to college. In college, I sort of was trying to find my way, and I was trying to find my way to figure out how to serve people as best I can and give all of myself, which is something I think in a lot of people's hearts, and they're trying to figure out how to do that. I ended up majoring in philosophy and really kind of just actually used the platform of college to just study anything and learn as much as I could and sort of check the box under the degree and just would show up to class whenever I really had to and take the tests. But I really just used that time to study and learn as much as I could. But I never actually considered business. I didn't think it was something that was a lofty goal or something, and it's not something I thought would be a good way to serve people. However, through different experiences and kind of based on my personality type, I found myself sort of back into business and coming out of college, and ended up deciding in a kind of a moment of clarity. I had gone to actually a monastery coming out of college for a couple of weeks, a Christian monastery with Christian monks. That traced their lineage like 1800 years back to like the 200s. I spent 2 weeks with them and really got clarity and found that I was called to business, and didn't know if it was like a good thing or bad thing, but decided it must be good. So I decided to use this vehicle of business to try to serve people through that. And so, and then that was 13, 14 years ago. But since then I've kind of hacked my way forward, and I did it by looking at, a number of things inside myself, and then looking outside as well and trying to figure out, how am I going to come up in business when I don't know anything about business? I don't have any networks. My parents are teachers. They were actually a little confused as to why I all of a sudden was thinking I'm going to go into business. They didn't quite understand, like, how is this a good thing? You know, wouldn't you consider maybe, you know, go into the medical field or something, or do something to help others directly? And I explained to them that, you know, I can help people, and business is actually such a fast-moving thing nowadays, and in today's world, it's the equivalent of, say, serving in the military 300 years ago as far as the impact you can have and the ability to move up. So the way I ended up coming up was I used the interlibrary loan system at the time because I didn't have much cash. I had a few thousand dollars from working in construction, but I was able to use that cash as to get food and things like that, and I would stay for free at different friends' houses or things like that. My brother was actually very accommodating of me as well. He was actually a teacher at the time. And I used the interlibrary loan system, would have mailed in, you know, 150 plus books to different libraries. I had to use multiple libraries because the librarians were getting so angry. They're just getting overloaded with the amount of stuff I was ordering in. And so within about 90 days, I slammed through tons of books, came up with a plan, and just attacked business, you know, full bore. I'm really fast forwarding fast here, but basically I was able to come in through the real estate angle. I bought a lot of properties using debt. And then I, over time, accumulated things. I took a lot of hard knocks, though, made a lot of false steps. Even though I had read a lot of things, I had to learn the hard way in a number of areas. And over time, I ended up, you know, building upon my asset base. The great recession crushed me very badly. I mean, I got nailed face first, but I was able to recover without any bankruptcy or anything like that, and kept coming, kept building. So the grit, I just kept determination to keep moving. And over time, I built up over $1.5 billion portfolio of assets in the real estate business, and built a company over 400 employees. So that's kind of my start and how I got into business. And from there, I jumped in and I decided to build TrustWork, which is currently what I'm working on. And that is pretty much a life passion of mine. It represents what's in my heart. It's the mission is to empower people to rise up and live abundantly. It's one of the reasons why it's great to be on this podcast, because we have so many entrepreneurs out there, or people that want to be entrepreneurs out there that are listening. And TrustWork is a platform for entrepreneurship. It's designed from all the problems I came across, really, where I didn't have the networks, I didn't have the capital, I didn't have the tools. There's a lot of software tools built onto the platform, and I didn't know how to work my way up, and I didn't have any of that knowledge that you would need. And TrustWork is set up so people can, in the long term, build a profile on there, develop a reputation, be able to access networks, capital, all that stuff. So that's where I currently am. The vision of TrustWork is to build the largest economy in the world. It's really a platform of entrepreneurship, like I said, and in the long term, ultimately to be a new land of opportunity.
And I'd say that's quite a background and an attention getter. And certainly felt the pain in those beginning stages as well, all the way from here. So good stuff. Really appreciate you sharing that, and a great place to start on our series of conversations. So why do you believe that sticking to the traditional confines of society and rules of institutions, such as education, are not always the best path for anyone, especially an entrepreneur?
What I would say is that I think that you want to take a look at the current paths that are laid out to us by society and by our environment, and really look at them for what they are. And at least that's what I did. And I think it played to my benefit that I did this. But I also kind of learned also other lessons that I had been a little bit too willing to go. I have a very strong tendency to go against the herd. If I see everyone going a certain direction, I tend to think, let me go the other way. It's a very rebellious instinct inside of me, but I've recognized that that's actually not the best. The best is to be independent-minded. So I'd encourage the listeners out there to really try to look at things in an objective way and see where things are going and where you could go on a smarter path, and then by going on a smarter path, gain an edge over the rest of people that are going for something. And this is kind of what I think people should be thinking about. So when you look at educational systems, I think the best way to look at them is as a network and as a credential, and rank them as such. Other than that, the actual quality of the education, with the exception of a few educational systems out there or educational institutions, it's pretty bad. So I went to Harvard Law School, for example. I also went to Georgetown. And it's not the actual level of what people are learning there and what's going on in the classroom is somewhat of a waste of time. It's they talk about a lot of things. They use this. And I'm an alumni, so I'm kind of like, you know, in a way bashing my own institution, but I really just looked at it as a network. And I actually skipped the majority of my classes for that reason. And I did that because I realized it's not really what it's providing. And that's a bit of a shame that's what it's become, but that's what it is. And I think that's the way to use those institutions, use them as a network, but realize the actual quality of the education is not that good. So then what are you going to do, right? If you're an entrepreneur, if you want to be an entrepreneur, how are you going to come up? You actually need knowledge, right? You need real education. Well, you have to educate yourself. So I wouldn't rely upon anybody, any institution that's out there necessarily handing you an education and giving you what you need. Because a lot of them at this point have systems that were set up pre-knowledge economy. And these systems, I think, in my opinion, the educational systems have become a little bit rotted. Where they're not really providing a lot of value in the area of education. They've become almost a bit of a club in a way. So you've got to, I would say the best things you could do is podcasts are a great forum. So you could have real conversations, or you could listen in on real conversations where people are telling it from how they saw it. And this is an excellent way to, now when I was coming up, I did not have podcasts. They just weren't around, but that would have been a great avenue. The other one is books. Books are still one of the best ways you can learn. Not all books are good. Some books are actually better to be burned because they're pretty worthless. But there are still some good books out there. And there is a ton of books on business, but sifting through them, find the good ones is difficult, right? But yet I still think that that's one of the best sources. The other source I'd say for good education and knowledge is mentorship. Finding someone who you respect that's in a category or in an area that you want to move up in is a very good way to, is one of the best ways to actually gain an edge. Because apprenticeship and this type of cultivation of knowledge on a one-to-one level is going to be the most pure form of learning, where the person can kind of tell you things, tricks to the trade he maybe wouldn't be able to say or wouldn't feel as comfortable saying out loud, or he just doesn't know what you really need. And some of what people need is proprietary to that person and based on their capabilities. So it needs to be like a tailored suit.
I'd have to say I do agree with that, your perspective there, and really some interesting and good information as well for the listeners. Now, how do you think being self-taught in many areas benefited you personally?
I mean, I think it's I think it was very helpful. So I'll give you a couple examples. First of all, my parents are educators. They're teachers. I mean, my mom was elementary school. My father was a middle school teacher. But teaching and education has been in my family. My brothers and sisters also went to teach as well. And my uncle was a Jesuit Catholic priest who had spent his time in the missions. And he was a teacher also. So this kind of learning has been something that maybe I grew up with. So this might be a benefit of that I kind of got this in a way by absorption. I absorbed this idea of you have to kind of learn on your own, or you've got to seek out learning. But I'll give you an example of one area where I ended up learning kind of the importance of self-teaching, where you have to go out and seek out your own knowledge, because there's always different versions of the truth you can hear. And really the truth stands alone though. The truth ultimately is something apart from people's perspective. And it's something other, and you have to figure out what that is. And if you can figure out what the truth is in business, then you can make smart moves. And let me give you an example of that, of how I learned that. And this was in high school, actually. When I was in high school, I was not the best behaved student. In general, school wasn't my thing. So I ended up having the most detentions of the high school, you know, which is great. I was the detention king. But this ended up leading to a lot of administrative problems with the staff or with the, you know, headmaster or principals or whatever. I ended up leaving that school right before the end. I had about a year and a half left to finish up. And I mean, I had actually been doing well educationally. I was still, you know, I would have been valedictorian of that if I'd finished, but I wasn't doing well behaviorally. But when I left, I actually had to retake all my history classes. And when I read a different version of history, I realized there's just completely two different sides to even history. Because I had read the history in high school, and then I came out, I had to read 3.5 years of history straight through. So I had to read it to catch up and in order to finish up my high school so I can go to college, right? But this gave me an idea that you have to kind of seek out different opinions. So even my opinion about business, you should listen to it. I'm a credible source. I built a $1 billion company, have a Harvard Law degree. I'm not a complete idiot, but I wouldn't even take what I say as gospel. You should take what I say as one data point, a valid data point that you would accept, and then weigh that against others, and then own what you think is going to work for you. And jumping into how this has helped me in business is, I'll give you an example, right? And this is an example of a failure, actually, that I turned into a success. When 2007, 2008 hit, which was the great financial crisis, I was completely levered. I had a lot of debt on properties. I also had borrowed money from all these different people that couldn't really lose money. That you know, they were people that maybe give me $1,000, $5,000. I was cobbling together money. That's how I got into business. I couldn't really lose their money. So this was extremely stressful, massively big failure for me when everything collapsed. And I had to pay all these people back. They were telling me, don't worry about it. But I knew that they couldn't lose the money. So I had to pay them back, right? So I ended up losing everything. I had to rebuild from scratch. But the advantage of me having learned on my own was I had studied a lot of history and financial history. I'd read a lot of financial history books. So I knew that collapse looked very similar to other collapses in the past. And the drivers of the collapse were almost like one-to-one. Well, it wasn't one-to-one, but it was very similar. It was kind of like Mark Twain says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure rhymes. I noticed that it was rhyming with multiple other collapses, which also rebounded later. And I was so convicted of this that I was – and additionally, I was completely determined – to get back on my feet and pay back my investors, which I ended up doing with their preferred return and everything else compounded. But I also wanted to be successful and not throw up the towel and say I'm out and just go down with a loss. So I was really driven, really on fire, wanted to get after it. But knowing that having my own independent judgment and objectively deciding this is actually a great time to get in and to be actually having received this hard knocks education, I was in a good position to actually come up. But during that time, everyone else was very, very negative and very pessimistic. Nobody wanted to go in during that time period. So everybody was saying, you know, basically you're crazy. And most everyone I was dealing with at that time, they were trying to get jobs at investment banks or law firms or whatever. And I was completely convicted of just getting after this because this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, because it had matched or it had rhymed with the other crashes that had happened in the past. So that was a very big play and a very contrarian play, which played into the non-conforming pioneering type mentality that I've developed over time, or maybe some of it could have been part of my nature, and it ended up paying off very well.
And I'd certainly say so. Today we are joined by Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who has built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs currently a technology company based in Seattle, Washington, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Rex, without a traditional background in business, what enticed you to start a career in business?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was about a number of things. I would say it was probably a plurality of things. I always had this very strong desire inside of me to do something massively big for other people. But I didn't know where I was going to do this. And through fumbling along, I ended up coming into business. And that's kind of what drove me to do it, to get this done and go on a big scale, right, and go all in and build out a company. And then even after I built out a company that was over $1 billion to now go after a company that has a vision that's going to be the biggest in the world, over a $1 trillion company, where I'm going all in again, where I could have just said, you know, the hell with this, I'm going to stop. It's what's driving me ultimately behind or underneath all the surface is this desire to have an impact on as many people as I can in a positive way. And I think why business then? Why not say medical or different field or government? I think it's because today, in today's world, we have a universal adoption of capitalism, despite a lot of a lot of rhetoric that's going on today with different politicians, people having socialist rhetoric or whatever they're talking. All that stuff's been kind of proven to not work in different countries and has been absolutely disastrous in certain countries. So with the universal adoption of capitalism, even in China, you can do business almost anywhere. Everybody's going to open up the door. If you have a product that's going to offer the ability for them to make money or somehow trade, people want to do business with you. And so I think it's just such a good avenue to have a gateway and an access where people will open the door and say, hey, come on in. If I knock on the door and I say, hey, you know, I'm from the government, you know, of the United States or something, you know, they're not really looking to talk with me, but I knock on the door and say, hey, I got Trust Work, the company I'm working on. I want to get your people on this platform so they can develop businesses locally. That's a yes every day in every country. Because I visited like 85 countries when I developed this plan of how we're going to execute. And every country's into that because all of them want to build up an economic power locally. And everybody has universal desires of to be happy, to take care of their families, to move up, to rise up, to live abundantly.
Mr. Rex, really inspiring, and I got to tell you, it's really been good to have had you and looking forward to further conversations. In conclusion, how can having a typical background help shape success in business?
Having a typical background, it depends what you mean by typical background. I would say that any background that's out there is going to have some kind of edge because no background really is going to be the same as every other background. And I think anybody out there that's a listener, so I'll give you an example. My brother-in-law is in the medical field, right? He was talking to me about getting into business and he was asking me different questions. How would he do this? I said, listen, man, you know, don't look into like these other industries. Like do a business, something to do with medical, because he knows medical stuff in and out. I mean, far better than I'm ever going to learn, right? I mean, he went to school for this stuff and he practices every day. So there's no way I can ever catch up to him. So I said, every day that anytime you go and do that, you can beat a guy like me. Because I'm going to beat him if it's a fair game. But it's not a fair game if it's a medical game, because I don't know anything about medical stuff. So if he does something medically related and it's something to do with business, he can beat me. And that's that business he should be doing, is what I told him. And this would apply to anybody. If you've got a deep background in a certain industry, it could be an everyday industry that's out there. you may complete, you are, I would say 100% you underestimate how much you know. And I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm just, that's a fact. You underestimate the level of knowledge you have in your area of domain expertise. But if you can just recognize that with humility and recognize your other parts that maybe you don't know as much, but you take what you do know and you look at that as your unique edge, and you grab that edge and you use that as your lever into business, and you combine that edge with other things that you start to learn, and now you're going to be making success. Nothing's going to happen quick, but I would say within 3 to 5 years, you're going to start seeing success.
That's certainly a great place to conclude. A lot of great information. Mr. Rex, thanks for joining us here today. If listeners wanted to get more information in your company, TrustWork, where's the best place to get the details online?
Yeah, absolutely. Any listeners out there, TrustWork.com. Best way to follow, though, is at Peter Rex on Twitter, because I release information on there. So track it on there. Go to TrustWork. Set up a profile today on TrustWork, especially if you're in Florida and Texas. We have a lot of stuff going on. But even if you're not, set up a profile and start building your future on TrustWork as an entrepreneur. The other thing I'd say is, at the very, very minimum, become a fan of TrustWork, because our mission is to empower people to rise up and live abundantly. And that's a mission that we can all get behind. And we need the help to do this. And so jump in there and let's get after it together. Let's make this happen.
That certainly sounds like a plan. Again, Mr. Rex, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great evening.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle. And for further information on TrustWork, visit TrustWork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.